हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, The Veda Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 2.11.97-102. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "The sweet transcendental sound is a special creation of the Lord known as Prema Sankirtana, congregational chanting in love of Godhead. In this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is descended to preach the religion of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the religious principle for this age. Anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by congregational chanting should be understood to be very intelligent. One who does not do so must be considered a victim of this age and bereft of all intelligence." Quote, "In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions." Footnote 13. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. The king said, "According to evidence given in the revealed scriptures, it is concluded that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna himself. Why then are learned scholars sometimes indifferent to him?" The Bhattacharya replied, "A person who has received but a little fraction of mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand that he is Lord Krishna, no one else." Srila Prabhupada. "The Sankirtan movement can be spread by a person who is especially favored by Lord Krishna. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Without first obtaining the mercy of the Lord, one cannot spread the holy name of the Lord," as we discussed this morning, because you're not dealing with any mundane energies here, any mundane force. You're dealing with transcendental, and you can't perceive transcendental unless you are pervaded by it, by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. You know, it's just a very straightforward point, like that. So even someone's just a little bit receives the mercy of the Lord, then they can do so much. Because we have to remember, a drop of this unlimited nectar is way more than the whole illusion of the material world. You know, that's the whole thing. It illuminates. It doesn't matter how much darkness is there. Like that. "One who can spread the Lord's name is called Labdha Chaitanya, in the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The Labdha Chaitanya is one who has actually awakened his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness. The influence of the pure devotees in Krishna consciousness is such that it can awaken others to become immediately Krishna conscious and engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of Krishna. In this way, the descendants of pure devotees increase. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes much pleasure in seeing the increase of his devotees. The word Sumedha Saha means sharply intelligent. When one's intelligence is sharp, he can increase the interest of common men in loving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and through him, in loving Radha Krishna. Those not interested in understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are simply material in their attempts at professional chanting and dancing for money, despite their supposed artistry. If one does not have full faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cannot properly chant and dance in the Sankirtan movement." Artificial chanting and dancing may be due to sentiments or sentimental agitation, but this cannot help one advance in Krishna consciousness. So, because he said he's seen all kinds of chanting, people come from all over India because Jagannath Puri is a very major temple. So, you know, for Rath Yatra and other different ceremonies, then they'll come from all over and they'll all do Sankirtana because it's the Yuga Dharma. But we see, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that they're accepting the laws of God. They're following his direction. They're following the scriptures. But Krishna, or the Lord himself, is just a part of this. It just like means, why are they following the scriptures? Right? They're following because of the benefits they'll get in karma jnana. And then they're adding, you know, then they have no problem in that God's part of that whole program. Shastra says do all these things, they say worship the Lord, they say chant the name, so then they do. So at these times they'll come, they'll chant, they'll be very absorbed in it, like that, the sentiment will be, you know, very powerful and like that. But the whole point is it's not necessarily that after this religious expression, that they continue with that focus on the Lord. They go back to their karma jnana. And then next festival, then it comes out again. So, that's the whole idea in the Vedas, that you're constantly exposed to these things. In this process, you may come across a pure devotee. Right? In your pursuit of knowledge, in your pursuit of the karma, when you do your religious activities, you may meet a pure devotee. Then you get the spark of love of God. Then it'll work. But otherwise, it won't. It's not called bhakti technically, but it's a favorable environment for the devotees to be in, because then all these things are there. It's standard, you can do these things, those things that are naturally available for the culture and practice are all there. Everything's there nicely. Yes?
In the New Age, the holy name is special again.
You mean in the coming of the Age of Aquarius?
Not the Age of Aquarius. The New Age society that is prominent today. All the New Age people.
Yes.
People. So when you have someone like Krishna Das, he packs a hold of 2,000 people and gets them all to chant on Krishna.
Yes.
Is there a benefit?
They'll get piety from it because it is the Yuga Dharma, and if they follow religious activities that are recommended, they'll always get the piety for that. You know, so what piety you get from doing all these other things, they'll get, but devotion, that's not on the menu.
You know, many of these people, they go to an evening like this, and they'll chant, they'll be happy. What great experience.
Of course, because it's a religious activity. It's just like they go to church, they sit there, and it was nice, and somehow or another the person next to them didn't sing out of tune, and, you know, it was okay. There was some little sentiment, you know, the pastor said something about, you know, Mr. Jones, who, you know, did so much, and like that, and they have a nice time. You know, there's some nice sentiment there, you know? So there'll be a moment that when they go outside and they leave, you know, the pastor's at the door, and when you walk out, and thank you, and this and that, they go down to their car, they start talking all nonsense, get in their car, turn on their radio, you know, do all whatever it is they're doing. So that's the whole point. They'll only get material piety, they won't get bhakti, because unless the chit potency is there, they're only getting the piety. Because the point is the name is non-different from Krishna when it's heard from, you know, when it's heard from those who are connected to the Surup Shakti. Otherwise, you're just getting his form and all that, but then if it's not connected in bhakti, then it's not Bhagavan. Right? They're not seeing it as the Supreme Lord, so they're an element of Brahman. So, within the mundane, the yogis and the jnanis can be completely mundane, but they're functioning on the platform, they might have that aspect of Atma-jnan. In this case, I doubt that they're even getting that far. But the point is what we're showing is even up to that point of Atma-jnana, it can be pure, it's mundane. It's the transcendental side of mundane, means you're out of the material world, and by definition transcendental, they are out. right? But they're not in to the spiritual world. So Madhvacharya mentions they're not really liberated. You know, it's a temporary, just like the material world's manifestation is temporary, their liberation is temporary. And so that's the maximum they can give. So they can encourage them, they'll be pious, they'll do nice, you know, their material life will improve like that. It doesn't mean that they're not getting all the reactions for all the stupid stuff they did before, but at least they're making a foundation for a more pious, better life in the future. But the advantage of this is now at that yoga studio where he goes and does his program, then if the devotees go and do a program, people will also come for that. And then they'll hear actually the proper holy name. Now they'll get that transcendental benefit. You know, and so being more pious, they might be more inclined. But at the same time, as that piety is not a prerequisite for devotion. Otherwise, if it was, what went wrong with the, you know, Magrari the hunter? You know, like that. You know, like we saw that they were giving examples of Magrari and, what was it, Shabala? There was some lady in Ramlila also, you know, a tribal lady, but she developed love for God like that by Lord Ramachandra's mercy. So it has to be understood is that we take it, as we were saying before, it's situational. So they're there, they're in a group, they're chanting the holy name, so that must be spiritual. That's the situation they're in. But why are they doing? What's the motive? What's the motive behind the person that's doing and all this and that? And so, yes, it's a nice thing. They're there and they're chanting and it's like this. But, you know, how much? Where are they going to get? It's not sampradayic, so therefore, you know. So that's the thing. They will definitely get piety. You know, just like you help the old lady across the street, you're going to get some piety. You know? So that's going to be there. But it's not going to prepare you for the spiritual realm. But that's the whole point of karma yoga and jnana yoga, is that it gives an environment in which you're open to meeting with the pure devotees. You know, it's just like you know, Srila Prabhupada's house. Every day they would invite four sadhus. So then you have that. So with that, it could be that someone comes who's bona fide. You know? Because of these others, they'll be harmi jnani, they'll be austere, they'll be doing something like this, but they'll also, you know, have so many other, you know, weaknesses. So that's why then Srila Prabhupada was a little wary when his friend was inviting, let's go see this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He just thought another sadhu like comes to dinner. You know? Like that. Then he's seeing that. Then he went, then he saw, okay, now here's that Lord Chaitanya's mission is now in good hands. So if people said they went to the kirtan, that's nice. You know, we wouldn't encourage them. But at the same time, as we would, seeing that Lord Chaitanya made chanting of the holy name a popular thing despite us. You know, we go to these programs, Ganesh Bhajan, this Bhajan, you know, because all karmis in the audience, they all know Sanskrit, and they all know when you're chanting Hare Krishna, and they know that that's because you're a Hare Krishna, and therefore you're doing it because you're wanting to get chanted Hare Krishna. And so therefore we sing all the other Bhajans and do all the other things, and a little bit of this and that, you know, not you know, you don't want to take too fast. This is soft preaching, Prabhu, you know, and so like that. And so, yeah, you can do that. And so Lord Chaitanya just got tired and brought in the karmis, and they're doing it. Like you said, thousands will go. We could be doing that. Previously, Hare Krishna meant us. Now Hare Krishna means these guys. Like nowadays, I go, you know, through airport, go places and that, and people ask me, oh, who are you guys, you know? You know, and I say Hare Krishna. They've never heard of Hare Krishna. I mean, literally. You know, because we're so good at blending in. But this guy comes out in his robes and his tilak and whatever it is that he does, and there he is, and thousands are going, not, oh no, because he wears that, then we expect him, I'm supposed to grow a beard and I'm supposed to wear that, and I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to his program. All this kind of nonsense. It's just a matter of, this is the process. So either we do it or someone else would do it. And then now you say, okay, now you can you guys go and chant? You know? Like that. You know, it's kind of like a few very enthusiastic, you know, seemingly old school, seemingly a little fanatic. You know, they're pushing a bit this, you know, Harinam Sankirtan, a few diehards here and there, like that. But before, that was our thing. We were in movies for that. Nowadays, are we in any movies? No. You know, so the whole thing is it's people don't mind it. I mean, from that, and it's becoming popular, then even other religions are even doing their own kirtans, because they see is that, wow, people really like this. And so then you have, you know, you have all these things, you know.
The rabbis.
Huh?
The rabbis in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Harmonia.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's the point. We should be on the cutting edge, but we're on the cutting edge of blending into nothingness.
No, Mara, it's ironic because every summer in the south of France, there's this huge gathering of new ages.
Yes.
And they all chant Hare Krishna all night.
Yeah.
Then they go downtown, they see the Hare and they say, look at the Haris!
Yeah. What to do? But the point is at least that's the real thing, you know? You know? At least they know who we are. That's at least that's an advantage, you know? So that's the whole thing, is that we have what we're supposed to be doing, and nothing else will gain it other than hearing the holy name and, you know, name, form, qualities, and pastimes, except from the devotees. That's it. There is nothing else in this age. All these other things, they fall by the wayside. You know, you become the greatest. It's just like, okay, where is all that great knowledge on, you know, quantum physics now that the wheelchair is empty? Right? He's gone. Who knows what rock the guy's under now? You know? Sorry, just when you're trying to use the thing, you know. So it's like, you know, all these, they big, and then they're gone. Who cares? Literally, who cares? You know? All these big things. He gets the Nobel Prize. Whoever got the Nobel Prize this year, it's in the news for a few days. And then after that, nobody cares. Then they're going to check out, you know, who won, you know, America's Got Talent or something. You know? So it's just they don't care. You know? But devotees, that has an impression, you know. Bed sheets, bald heads, you know, and even bald heads. So many people, it's the fashion of bald heads and beards. So we just put this, you know, the beard on the top and the back here. You know, that's all. So it's, you know, that's all. Like that. So it's just a matter of, if we do what we do, then it works nice. It's Lord Chaitanya's age. It's not anybody else's age. And if you look at it, where is New Age coming from? Now it's called New Age. Since 1930, it's called New Age. Before that, it was called Orientalism. You know, because it's all this far-out stuff from the East. You know, they didn't really make so much distinction between India and China and anything like that. But it was Eastern. There was something far out about it. And people would get into that. And they would have people come over. I mean, why is Vivekananda going to Chicago in the 1800s? Because they want to hear from these guys. You know, they don't know what's real. They just know it's, hey, that's the happening thing. So those were the New Agers in those days. Right? You know, so they've been around, I think when maybe 1700s or something, that it kind of became a thing. You know, but anybody who went out traveling in that, you know, before that, you know, from the 16s or what, they would be picking these things up. Everything else, they're picking it up from somewhere else. They're always going. Marco Polo went. He brought back some spaghetti, you know. You know, like that. You know, but others before used to bring back other things from India. you know, stuff like that. So it's always been something there. Always. There's something. So it's just a matter of, it's Lord Chaitanya's time, we take advantage of it. We figure out how to make it work. You know, they say, oh, the devotees look like, you know, they don't look very nice. Well, teach them how to dress nicely. You know? But then there's one problem. The person complaining about that doesn't know either. You know? So then find people to show you how to dress properly. Right? Nobody said Prabhupada looked like a slob. Never. He always said he was a gentleman. Always. And so that means, a gentleman means how you carry yourself, how you dress, how you behave. Not whether you're wearing bed sheets or you're wearing, you know, how you say, 1-week-old pants. Does that make sense? That's not what makes the gentleman. So only non-gentlemen would make those comments. Literally. Right? Because otherwise, if they were gentlemen, they'd point out, they'd see the good qualities that are there. I mean, that's pointed out. Rupa Goswami, and that means those of a superior character, they don't point out the faults, they point out what's good. Faults, anybody can point them out. Like that, they point that, yes.
I think in the 70s, one of the top models, one famous magazine criticized her because of the dressing, like, no, the costly dresses she wears, she looks nice. The next time, she wore a gunny bag.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, she looks just as good. Yeah, that's what you have to do. Yeah, you only look nice because you're wearing good clothes. Then she wore a potato sack. And then it was high fashion, couture. Yeah, and it's probably then now you could get a, you know, Gucci potato sack for, you know, 800 euros, you know, like that. So basically, it's just piety. That's all it is. Someone's improving their piety. Even you, all these self-help gurus, they're only helping you improve your piety by being aware of the inherent laws that are there, though they don't talk in absolute position. They talk as if what they're saying is absolute, but they don't compare it to the original absolute. So you're seeing the laws, you're being sensitive to that, you're using your intelligence, you're engaging in that, so it naturally it'll improve because it's a piety. But it's only a piety on pranamoya, on artha. And most of the time it's also for the purpose of, you know, anamoya. So kama. So then it's not great piety.
You know, these self-help gurus?
Self-help gurus.
They have two things in common. One, they're very good talkers, and two, they never quote Shastra. Never.
You sure? Not by accident somebody didn't quote one?
I mean, not once. They don't quote great masters. It's just all coming out of themselves.
Yeah, it's just their observation. So they're intelligent. They sit around, you know, whatever it is, start, and they have the modes of nature allow them to be observant of what's going on. They see the patterns. Then over years, they were, because if you hear, now they become famous, but if you heard them 10 years ago or 20 years ago, they were saying stuff that didn't quite work. Some worked, some didn't work, so they weren't taking, now they've kind of got it together. And they just figure out how to make it practical for people. So that's the thing, is they're just doing what we're supposed to do. Take the Vedas, make it practical for people. Like that. And that takes time to you know, develop that. That you know what kind of person you talk, give what example, how you talk, you know, different things like that. That's all they've done. But, you know, so it's just their observance. So that's why we don't have any problem with, in one sense, with the principle. For us, we don't see that there's a difference in science and religion. Because religion but means the inherent nature of something, which means the science of it. Our point is that it has an inherent nature. You have to use it in a particular way. They're only interested in learning what the nature is, not in using it according to that. Because if you say it should be used that way, oh, why are you giving conclusions? No, that's what it's for. This is a car. You get in this side. Why can't we get in through the back door and climb over the seat? You know? like that. In fact, if you get in from the passenger side, the back door, it's easier to climb over the seat and slide over. But if you get in the from behind the driver, it's more difficult because you kind of have to go around. So it's actually quicker to go in from the other side. You know, well, we're just saying, no, you just go in through the door here. Oh, why are you so old-fashioned? Yes.
Coming back to the morning discussion of Bhagavad Sandarbha, if we take Pratyaksha Hanuman and Shabda, according to Prabhu,
yes,
they all in ignorance, because it's all based on Pratyaksha.
Yes.
And then using some logic.
And then they're using that Hanuman to try to make it applicable to others.
So it's just Arokya, but the lowest level of Arokya.
Yes, yes. No, that's the difficulty, is that all the different systems, they're all in these categories. But somehow or another, by conditioning, by, you know, just by habit, we give them so much credit. Now, they are manifesting opulences of the Lord by some previous good credit. But so we respect those, but it doesn't mean that what they're saying has any value. We respect them as they're intelligent. We don't respect that what they say is intelligent. We deal with them as if they're intelligent. So if one's not so trained, then that, you know, the culture is less, you're convinced of Krishna consciousness, but you may deal with them badly. But the point is no, by etiquette, you deal with them properly. They're intelligent, you know, like that. So you respect that, or they're powerful, you respect that, or they have money, you respect that, or they're famous, or have a skill, you respect that. Because where does that knowledge and skill come from? It's by Krishna. Krishna reveals it. It's just like this. Where did suddenly now Harinam Kirtan is now the popular thing amongst the Karmis? Right? We're supposed to be doing it. We didn't do it. And now here it is. Krishna just arranges these things. You know, this Prabhupada mentions, this movement will go forward. It's just who gets the credit. It's not that, you know, when I feel like it, then it'll happen. When I don't, Krishna will give you some chance, and if you don't, it'll move on. The big guy is there. Somehow or another, he's not engaged in the service. The yatra doesn't do so well and all that. But at some point, others come along, and it does fine. You know, there's an opportunity to take it up, do it, get in there and that. But if you don't, somebody else will come along. So here, it's just, you know, it's being introduced. Like that. We're not pushing, you know, what we're doing so people aren't becoming vegan, but vegan comes out of nowhere. You know? So people are vegan, they're Harinam Sankirtan, you know, it's just like it's all going on. But zero credit to us. You know, full credit to Lord Chaitanya, but none to us. You know? Like that. They'll go there, first day, go in there, bang, Hare Krishna. I've been to ones where they won't chant Hare Krishna. Then, how long is this? Oh, this is the sixth week. You know, we don't want to be rushing. Okay. So who's going to rush it? The guy coming from Braj. He'll come over there and sit down and he'll go for it. So that's the thing, is that either we'll do it or someone else will do it. But what they're giving is just mundane piety. They're supposed to be getting transcendental, you know, like that. So if we've been doing that since the 80s, it'd be developing. But, you know, however, we've managed since the 80s to expertly crawl under our rocks and all that, and nobody knows who we are, never seen anybody. Like I flew into Miami, right? 6 hours from the biggest community in the world, and no one knew who we were. Literally, they didn't know who we were. The only people that know are the guys that work at the Tesco's. All the devotees come in karmic clothes, and they go, oh, that one's a devotee. Because you can always tell, because the way they wear their karmic clothes, the karmis don't dress like that. Yes.
Another point was, Raghunadas Goswami Bhakti Mottakur mentioned that the Premnam, I mean, you can chant the Nam.
Yes.
But the Premnam you have to get from the Guru.
Yes.
So, even Nam Abbas, people chant and elevate themselves.
Yes.
But up to that point, I mean, for millions and millions of lifetimes, they can chant that. But without the help of the Guru Parampara, they can't go over.
No, they can't go over that. Like that. So that's why you have to hear from the Parampara. That's why it's so essential. It's not like, oh, that's our opinion or that's the way to do it. There's other... No. Krishna has come. There's one opinion. It's Krishna's opinion. It's his world. He's created it. It's his desire. It runs the way he does it. Right? It's his energies expanding, so they're not going to be different. And so then when one accepts that it's from, coming from the parampara, then one will get that benefit. Otherwise, yeah, they've been, you know, for thousands of years been doing kirtan and all that. But the point is unless it has that pure element, it's not going to get you, you know, it's not going to give you the, you're not going to get prema. That's the, yeah. So that's why we don't mess around. See, there's the slow path and the quick path. Slow path is just the Vedic and that kind of stuff. Quick path is bhakti. Within bhakti, there's the gradual path and the instant path. Right? So the gradual means the instant path is you come in contact with Krishna, immediately you fall in love with him, like the gopis or, you know, Prahlad Maharaj or like this. And that's the instant path. They're just immediately spontaneous. And if that doesn't happen, you follow the gradual path. It's not that, you know, which should I choose? No, it's either it happened or it didn't. When it didn't, you follow the gradual. But that gradual means in one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead. And then that one lifetime in Braj and Gokul, you can develop prema. You know, but that lifetime you don't really have to worry about. You know what I'm saying? So we just have to give up this enamorment with the karmis, that they're so good, because that comes from material desire. They have things we want. And they're good at it. But we don't care. Like that. Their wealth is coming from Krishna, from previous pious activity. We serve Krishna, Krishna takes care of it. So, and if we just yourself, and you go and speak, then people will, those who are honest, they'll come forward. The ones who are not, you can't do anything anyway. You can't impress someone who is, you know, who is that false ego and that they're not interested. You're not going to impress them anyway. So why try to impress people that you can't impress? Look for the ones you can. You know? Does that make sense? And that gets somewhere. You know, Prabhupada started. This is the fun part. He started at the yoga studios on the Upper West Side. Means where all the rich people live. The Upper West Side, that's where, you know, that's where all the billionaires are. Millionaires, billionaires are all like that. And so that's where they are. He was going to the yoga studio there. All those ladies that were going, they're like, you know, money falling out of everywhere. You know, they're stinking rich, you know. And so that's the thing, is that he started there, but he didn't see that it was they're actually interested. They're just adding a little bit. You know, you give that, you speak a little bit, okay, nice, you know, add that a little bit to your life. Like I've seen, you see some of them, these yogis and that, devotees are doing programs and all that, you come back next year, and those who have become devotees, they do nicely like that. But you come back, the same yogi guys are still there. You come back after that, they're still there. Still the same beard, the same this. They're a little cleaner. That's there. They do clean themselves up a bit more. But that's it. You know? So you have to appreciate that you look for those who are willing. So you throw the net wide, but when you catch, then you deal with that. You don't worry about the ones you're not catching. You have a nature, you work within what your nature, what you can do, where you can make things happen, and develop it there. That's why everything's personal, individual. Different devotees do different things. That's why Prabhupada didn't want it centralized. That's why Prabhupada didn't want it that it has to be done just in this way. Because everybody's different. Because otherwise a bureaucrat works it out, they're not practically doing it. Maybe they were before, but they're not anymore. And so they can't tell. They can't give a universal. Universal is you're remembering Krishna. And then you make it work. then it's perfect. So it goes, Lord Chaitanya, he's there. He's in Navadvip. It means everybody, are the scholars in Navadvip liking him? Are the Karmakandis liking him? No. So then, even the government doesn't necessarily like him. When they get out of hand, he goes and talks to them. But this whole thing is everybody's got to love us and all that. That means I want to be loved. Otherwise, where is anybody all loved? It's in this world, who loves who?
Everybody loves Gopala.
That's there. But then the point, you have the saying, he's got a face only a mother could love. So there is limitations on how much everybody loves you. So that's it. You just work in areas that work for you. This idea that we have to be universally accepted, look at that, it doesn't matter. Say Christians, there's 2 billion of them. Yeah, come back and now it's 500 years. Come back in another 9,500 years, and then see what's happening. It's just you come back after some time, and it'll be way beyond whatever's going on. Because there is how much are they? What do they know? Have they known anything? What's their lifestyle?
It is quite amazing to see that Maya is finding some new ways to cover the pure bhakti. If you are not Vridavrata, like it was said, determination is very easy to be under.
It covers. Like you see, Bhakti Vinod Thakur is like nobody knows about, because nobody cares for the Sahajas. All the gentlemen and the intelligent, like they just don't care because they're just so how they're behaving and they know no philosophy and this and that. So then he works hard to get people to be interested in the Gaudiya philosophy and that. And then when it becomes an interest, then they come and take advantage.
Yes.
So you're always going to have that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the same thing. Like that, as you establish. So it's always going to be. It means we're doing something, we're having a program, and all that, we're getting people, it's getting popular. And then, sometimes exactly next door, two doors down, then an alternative, Gaudiya line, they have their program there and they try to catch all our people.
Yes.
They won't go out and get them themselves, they have to catch ours. So it's just the way it works.
Yes.
So that's why you have to put in that effort. It's about the effort. That's the devotion is in expending that effort, expending the senses for Krishna's service. Right? Because Krishna can make it all happen. But the point is that people have to voluntarily want to accept it. And we voluntarily try to, practice it ourselves and give it to others. So that's the thing. Everybody works where they can. If you can't work in an area, fine. Don't work there. Find the area you do. Don't make some excuse why you're still fabulous. I can't work there, but nobody can, or we don't need to. Just leave it. You can't do it. Take the humble position. Take somewhere else. When they say, oh, no one can do this, there's a devotee who's doing that. So like that. It's I think it's a discussion, maybe Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying to Lord Chaitanya, what activity you'll do when, through who, and how, only you know. He's talking to Lord Chaitanya. So who he's going to empower to do what things, that we don't know. We just try our best to do whatever we can. Like that. Be inspired. Utsahan. Endeavor with intelligence.
At the end of Jiva Dharma, there's a list of devotees empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who got what mission.
Oh.
It's right there. The 39th chapter.
Okay.
And everything was distributed through Swarup Damodara. Mahaprabhu gave him everything, and then he gave to different devotees, Raghunath Das, Prakashal Pandit, of course Nityananda got it directly from Mahaprabhu. Like that. There was a whole list of the one
Yeah, okay. And then Nityananda Prabhu's people would get, and then like that. So. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is some people can do and some people can't, and so it doesn't matter where you can do, because the thing is that you have these great personalities, they have one disciple. You know, somebody else has so many disciples. So it's nothing to do with what it is, just because the mission is, if one person becomes a pure devotee, the whole effort was worthwhile. Whatever effort you put in for a lifetime, if one person becomes a pure devotee, it's worth it. That's the mission. That has to be clear, that's the mission. You know, not mission statement is, yeah, to, you know, establish a place and then, you know, have nice regular gatherings and this and that. Okay, that's the technical strategy is make a pure devotee. That's the actual mission. And then, you know, different people have ways that they can go about it. So it has to be clear, that's the mission. So Srila Prabhupada said that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that. I'm not sure, I kind of remember Bhakti Vinod Thakur making that point, but at least the two of them have very strongly made that point. So that's what we're supposed to do. You know? Then people who are pursuing that, mission, that's the movement. Those who then, based on the Vaishnav, lifestyle and values and all that, associate with each other, that's the society. Right? And then the structure that which organizes these things to make it work nice, that's the institution. So it all connects together. But it starts from the mission. Right? Does that make sense? Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya continued, if the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not bestowed upon a person, regardless of how learned a scholar that person may be, and regardless of his seeing or listening, he cannot accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. So, even if he sees Lord Chaitanya or hears about the glories of Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't have, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he still can't understand. So that means mercy is there. And so we see is that Prabhupada's talking a lot about this point here. The Acharyas talk about that it's that someone that pure intent to please Krishna, that's the potency behind it. It's not technique and other things like that. It's that pure intent. That's what makes it successful. That's what has effect on people's lives. That's what changes their heart. Right? And then, by Krishna's grace, then you may develop some nice technique. But it's not the technique. So in other words, how is it? Form follows function, right? Is that how it is? You have a function, so therefore the form of it is to match that function. So the point is delivering pure devotional service, then the form will develop. But if that's there, it works. So that's the whole point. Srila Prabhupada, the same principles can be applied to demoniac persons, even though they be in the sampradaya of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without receiving the Lord's special power, one cannot preach his glories all over the world. Even though one may celebrate himself as a learned follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even though one may attempt to preach the holy name of the Lord all over the world, if he is not favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will find fault with the pure devotee and will not be able to understand how a preacher is empowered by Lord Chaitanya. One must be considered bereft of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he criticizes the Krishna consciousness movement now spreading all over the world, or finds fault with this movement or the leader of the movement. Right? So we see is that the as some pointed out, you know, it's like God brothers and that of Srila Prabhupada. Some said, you know, we're like a little creek. You know, a creek? A little stream. Right, so real, you know, you have a stream, but if it's real little, and it just kind of slowly goes along over the rocks, it can be called a creek. It's a stream, but it's yeah, he's just saying we're little streams. You said that Srila Prabhupada, he's like the Ganga, you know, down at the mouth, that big, wide, you know, like that. He says that's, you know, but it just says, the message is the same, but we can't do what he's doing. Like that. So that's the point. So then those who will criticize that pure message, that pure intent, that's a problem. Like that. One has to appreciate. So one can't find fault in Prabhupada. One can't find fault in all these things. You have to be very, very careful. Prabhupada's given his books. He said they're his personal ecstasy. So you don't change it. Like that. You just don't change it. You know? I'm differentiating this between the person who was transcribing, you know, didn't quite understand Prabhupada's accent. And so then they wrote a word, and then the editor tries to make something out of it, you know, but it still has potency because it was spoken properly, the person sincerely was at it, so it still has potency. But then Jayadvaita Maharaja go back and correct those words and bring it to what Prabhupada actually said in the tapes. You know, and then, you know, edit it as he was trained to edit. I'm not talking about that change. I'm talking about changing the points that Prabhupada's making, removing points that Prabhupada makes. You don't do that. Because we may say, now it may not apply politically, but how long are these people here? You know, it's like, you have to remember, boomers are going to be dead in a few years. So you can't base the whole movement on what do the boomers think. Does that make sense? No? Boomers? Boomers. Boomers, baby boomers. They're also known as the me generation because whatever they do, it's always about themselves. Yeah. Like that. Other generations before that and after that kind of consider the group, but they're a group because each one is about themselves and everybody else is agreeable to that because they have similar ways that they themselves are trying to be the center. It's a unique group. I mean, you don't hear them talk about any other group. Millennials will talk about, you hear about them now because they're kind of like the up-and-coming ones. And they're completely different. They always criticize the boomers. Yeah. It just it's like, you know, where are these guys? But it's not that they don't have something valuable to say. But the point is you can't base everything on these guys. You know? Or anything else. Whatever it else. Don't base it on what's going on now. This movement is for 10,000 years. You change it now, then someone else is going to have to change it back. And if it has to be changed back, you're not going to get any good spiritual credit for that. Lord Chaitanya has to change things back. You're not going to get any good credit for that. Just because you can't adjust with it. You don't know how to explain it. And all that. So that's the whole thing. You can't go like that by regional value systems and all that. Prabhupada said you can make purports to his purports, so you want to explain it so that they do understand. But that won't be done. Why? Oh no, we're not qualified. But we're not qualified to write a purport, but we're qualified to change the original? How does that make sense? That makes zero sense. Oh, we don't want to do anything that's permanent. Changing Prabhupada's books isn't permanent. So you have to be very, very careful. You have to have that faith. Then you'll find a way to figure it out, a way to explain it. Because the point is if you're using the descending method of explanation, it makes it so much easier to find the way to make it work. But if you're trying to use inductive, then it's from your point and their point, and you're not as good as their point and this and that, and then it gets bewildered. So that's the whole thing. Just start with, that's why the devotees in those 60s, 70s, they were just using the deductive. They didn't know anything else. And it worked. Thousands and thousands of devotees. I mean, even now you have tens of thousands of devotees. The point is it worked. So now you just have to add that refinement, the culture and everything like that, that just naturally comes by the process of chanting. Like that, then it works.
If you call it other things, you use the first canton. And give his purport to self expression.
Who?
If you call it other things?
Gave purports.
You give the whole first canton on page.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, never heard. Yeah, so like that. There could be, you can see so many. Bhagavatam is there, Vishwanatha commentary, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami. You know, so many have commentaries. But the point is you're trying to, you're following the footsteps of the Acharyas, making what they're saying relevant for, because we can do something to make it relevant. We can give relevant instructions. We don't give new instructions. This idea is that, oh, we're a guru, we give new instructions. No, we give relevant instructions. Prabhupada's the guru. We're the relevant guru, you know, making relevant for somebody. Does that make sense?
No.
That's what it's just like, let's say you go into a big shop, you know, and it's one, you know, a specialized shop, and people come in there. It's already set up what it is. Now you can come in and somebody there can help you find what's relevant for you. What it is, how to use it, how it works in your life and everything like that. That's what we can do. That's our position. We don't establish the shop. Right? You know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur has already established the market. So,
I think in the Bhagavatam 11th canto, Buddha Gita, there's that verse that four kinds of guru, first is the acharya, then upadhyaya, then guru, and then I forgot the fourth one, but acharya is he gives the teaching for the
yes.
Sampradaya, and then upadhyaya, he explains as relevance, then
yes.
there's a preacher, and then there's, you know, like regular devotee
yes.
association. So we should actually discriminate which is what.
Yes.
Because it's four different positions.
And we should know where we are. So when Haridas Thakur in Harinanchantamani then points out there's the Adi Guru, that's Srila Prabhupada. And so the Sadgurus and the preachers are only giving his instructions. It's not that, you know, now I'm a guru, and so now I do is my mission. Like sometimes I hear disciples saying, you know, yes, my spiritual master's mission, and this. No, it doesn't work like that. It's Prabhupada's mission. He may be doing an aspect of that and present it that way. Understand where it fits in. Otherwise, then it's this disciple against that disciple, and they make all this trouble when the gurus don't have a problem. You know? So you have to understand is that all we're doing is we're studying Prabhupada's books, and we're studying the Acharya's books through Prabhupada's books. We won't understand what the others say on our own. People have tried. They end up somewhere else. They can't function within the society. So that's the difficulty, is that it's Rupa Goswami's instruction. You understand the previous Acharya through your Acharya, our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Then others are the spiritual masters. So it's just like, let's say, with the Shris, it's you know, 1,000 years later. When you go to hear from a Shri, what do you expect to hear? Ramanujacharya's you know, philosophy. That's why they're Shris. You know, if you hear, you know, some far out, who's that? Oh, my spiritual master said this. Well, what is Ramanujacharya? You know, that's not. You don't expect to see that. So the whole point is as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then it's what Srila Prabhupada says, that's what we're talking about. You know, someone may, you know, come have a very nice way of presenting that and things like that, and so those things we might follow. You know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes nice statements. You know, Srila Prabhupada would be quoting. We even see sometimes a statement's been made very nicely by Ramanujacharya, or even a follower of Ramanujacharya. You know, Vadi Raj sometimes is quoted, or Raghavendra Acharya, I think, like this, and then the Madhvas, then a few of their Acharyas. So the point is, they've made a very nice, concise, you know, very insightful definition or explanation. Because everyone will use it. Doesn't matter. So the point is everything's there. We just have to have that faith and then give it. That's Dridhavrata. Like that. You know. Because that's how it works. And one has one's faith in one's guru because he connects you to Prabhupada. Right? So that's, you know. So it's just like, you'll see, with you're talking to, let's say, someone from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and they're talking what Ramanujacharya said. And after talking for some time and discussing this and that, just what Ramanujacharya said, you can ask them, you know, and you, your guru is, and then they'll suddenly, you know, go, you know, they'll mention the name of the guru. So they've heard from their guru of what Ramanuja said. Like that. And so then, that's the point. So relevant means you make it so that the person is able to apply it in their life. That's relevant. It doesn't mean Prabhupada's instructions are not relevant. They're the ones that are actually, but we have to find in various situations how to apply it to ourselves and others. That's, you know, use your intelligence. That's what it says, sharp intelligence. That's the meaning. It's a practical intelligence. Okay. 2.11.104. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued. You don't put on your head and chest also? Yeah, he only put here, here. What about here, here? No? Oh, I know. So here, here, here. Then here, here, here. No?
Yeah.
That's
very young.
Yes. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, Lord Brahma said, My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Srila Prabhupada, this verse is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29. It is explained in the Madhya Lila in the 6th chapter, text 84. Okay. Udriti. The Brahma Samhita states, Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. Brahma Samhita 533. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate goal of knowledge, Vedaish cha saver aham eva vedyaha. Bhagavad Gita 15.15. One who is not a pure devotee and who is not engaged in the service of the Lord cannot understand him. Lord Brahma therefore confirms this. Vedeshu durlabham. It is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord simply through one's studies. Adurlabham atma paktau. However, it is very easy for the devotees to capture the Lord. The Lord is known as Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord consents to be conquered by His devotees. That is His nature, as is stated in the Padma Purana. Patashi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grahyam Indriyahi Sevan Mukhehi Jihuadao Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Being pleased by devotional activities, the Lord reveals Himself to His devotees. That is the way to understand Him. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29 was originally spoken by Lord Brahma when he was defeated by Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma had stolen all the calves and coward boys in order to test Krishna's power. Lord Brahma admitted that his own extraordinary powers within the universe were not in the least comparable to the unlimited powers of Lord Krishna. If Lord Brahma can make a mistake in understanding Krishna, what to speak of ordinary persons who either misunderstand Krishna or falsely present a so-called incarnation of Krishna for their own sense gratification. 2.11.105-112. The king said, Instead of visiting the temple of Lord Jagannath, all the devotees are running towards the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Ramananda Roy did the same thing in Lord Chaitanya Chasta. No, you're supposed to go to Jagannath first because I'm just that, you know, you have to see the Lord. But they all know, he's the Lord. By his grace, then you'll understand Jagannath. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, "This is spontaneous love. All the devotees are very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, the devotees will meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then take him with them to the temple to see Lord Jagannath." The king said, "The son of Bhavananda Rai, named Vaninath, along with 5 or 7 other men, went there to obtain the remnants of Lord Jagannath's food. Indeed, Vaninath has already gone to the residence of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and has taken a huge quantity of Mahaprasadam. Please let me know the reason for this." So the interesting thing, he's saying this, how does he know? Right? He has his people. He's a king. He's got to know all this stuff. It's going on in his place. He has to know what's happening. So he has his people. They know. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Understanding that all the devotees have come, Lord Chaitanya gave the sign, and therefore Vaninath and the others have brought such great quantities of Mahaprasadam." The king then asked the Bhattacharya, "Why have the devotees not observed the regulations for visiting the pilgrimage place, such as fasting, shaving, and so on?" Right? Because generally you come to you fast, you know, like that, you take a bath, you shave, you take the bath like that, then like this, then you... "Why have they first eaten prasadam?" You have to know your priorities here. Right? Right? You can shave anytime. Take a shot. The Bhattacharya told the king, "What you have said is right according to the regulative principles governing the visiting of holy places. But there is another path, which is the path of spontaneous love. According to those principles, there are subtle intricacies involved in the execution of religious principles." Right? Because those are to inspire you that you come to the spontaneous platform. If that's already there, then you're going to do. Because it's not that spontaneously you're doing something else. You know, it's not that they all come to Puri and all that, and then without doing all those other things, you know, shaving, fasting, and bathing and all that, they immediately go to the shops because, you know, the wife said to get them this sari and such. No. You know. And they're not doing that. You get good gumshas in Puri, you know. The Arisan gumshas are famous.
They don't do
charity to buy your hat. Huh? Yes. You don't get out of the car, get in the rickshaw and tell them, yeah, pack all the luggage and everything. According to the Vedic regulative principles, one has to be celibate before entering a holy place of pilgrimage. Generally, people are very much addicted to sense gratification, and unless they have sex at night, they cannot sleep. The regulative principles therefore enjoin that before a common man goes to a holy place of pilgrimage, he should observe complete celibacy. As soon as one enters a holy place, he must observe fasting for the day, and after shaving his head clean, he must take a bath in a river or ocean near the holy place. These methods are adopted to neutralize the effects of sinful activities. Because otherwise they just come and just carry on how they're behaving. Visiting a holy place of pilgrimage means neutralizing the reactions of a sinful life. For those who go to holy places of pilgrimage actually unload the reactions of their sinful lives. And consequently, holy places are overloaded with sinful activities left there by visitors. When a saintly person or pure devotee visits such a holy place, he absorbs the sinful effects left by the common men and again purifies the holy place. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Therefore, a common man's visit to a holy place and an exalted saintly person's visit there are different. The common man leaves his sins in the holy place, and a saintly person or devotee cleanses these sins simply by his presence. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not common men, and they could not be subjected to the rules and regulations governing the visiting of holy places. Rather, they exhibited their spontaneous love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately upon arrival at the holy place, he went to see Lord Chaitanya, and by his order they took Mahaprasadam without following the regulations governing holy places. 2.11.113-117. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya continued, The scriptural injunctions for shaving and fasting are indirect orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because all these different things that they're mentioned that they've done when you come to these places, but in that it's not talking specifically about the Lord and how it connects to the Lord. So these are indirect activities that the Lord has given, and they're bona fide, they're appropriate. But they're the indirect. So they're talking about those that are beneficial for the platform of Brahman and Paramatma. You know, you purify yourself, you bring yourself to the transcendental understanding, you understand the supremacy of the Lord, how He's absolute, He controls everything. These are there. But you see, it's with these devotees because they're connected with Bhagavan, and specifically in his case, Lord Chaitanya himself, Swayam Bhagavan. Then they just directly interact at that level. So they don't need these other things to get them to that position. They're already on that position. However, when there's a direct order from the Lord to take prasadam, naturally the devotees take prasadam as their first duty. When mahaprasadam is not available, there must be fasting. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly orders one to take prasadam, neglecting such an opportunity is offensive. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing prasadam with his transcendental hand, who will neglect such an opportunity and accept the regular principle of fasting? Previously, the Lord gave me mahaprasadam rice one morning, and I ate it just sitting on my bed without having even washed my mouth.
Telling to the king. Hmm? He's telling to the king, and he's the head priest of the
The man to whom the Lord shows his mercy by inspiring him within the heart takes shelter only of Lord Krishna and abandons all Vedic and social customs. Srila Prabhupada. This is also the teaching of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 1866. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Such firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is possible only by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is sitting within everyone's heart, and when He personally inspires His devotee, the Lord does not stick to the Vedic principles or social customs, but rather devotes himself to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is confirmed in the following verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-46. Right? Because all these regulations are to bring you to Bhava, Bhava to Prema. So you see, these devotees are already acting on that spontaneous platform. Right? So then, they're not doing anything that's against devotional service. They're just being engaged in direct activities. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quoted, when one is inspired by the Lord, who is sitting in everyone's heart, he does not care for social custom or Vedic regulative principles, right? So here is that, we see is that, we were discussing before, is that sometimes devotees are wary of Vedic regulative principles, but they very much care for social custom.
Yes.
You know, like that. Of the two, both of them will have that engagement of the conditioning, but the Vedic at least is a touch better. At least it's minimum starting with manamoy, while the social custom is pranamoy at best. You know? It's like, what social, service are you doing? Going, getting something fancy to eat, ordering the best thing there is possible, taking pictures of it, you know, yourself and this and that, and doing all that, and then sending it to all your friends just to make them jealous. And then, the best part is, then you don't even eat it. You know, but it's a popular thing. It's a social custom. How is it pranamoy, though? It's just anamoy. You know, it's not how to bring the society together, how to inspire everybody else. It's another thing, a close friend, you're into eating, you know, you have something nice, hey, check this out, oh, wow, that looks good, and, you know, how is it made? You know, that's a different thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that just socially you're showing yourself so fabulous and all that, and it's all about you. So how is that pranamoy? You know, because in anamoy you have uncivilized life and civilized. So all they're doing is some variety of civilized anamoy platform. Because they don't work together really as a group. you know, where they come together, where it doesn't, there's no regulation for that. Is that, you know. So one has to go above both of these. Otherwise, you just have these two fighting with each other. Srila Prabhupada. This instruction, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-46, was given by Narada Goswami to King Pachinabarhi in connection with the story of Puranjana. That's for Narada Goswami. Have you heard that before? That is so cool. Here, Narada implies that without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot extricate himself from the fruit of activities that are under the jurisdiction of the Vedas. In previous verses, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29-42-44, Narada admits that even personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Manu, the Prajapatis, headed by Daksha, the four Kumaras, Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, Bhrigu, Vashishta, and even Narada himself, could not properly receive the causeless mercy of the Lord. 2:11-1:19-1:38. After this, King Pratapurudra came down from the top of his palace to the ground and called for Kashi Mishra and the inspector of the temple. Footnote 14. The Gauraganudesh Deepika 193 states that Kashi Mishra was formerly Kubja in Mathura. Maharaj Pratapurudra then told both Kashi Mishra and the temple inspector, provide all the devotees and associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with comfortable residences, convenient eating facilities for prasadam, and convenient visiting arrangements at the temple so that there will not be any difficulty. Right? You know, they don't have to come in through the wrong door and all the guys are there with their those clubs, you know, that they whack everybody with. You know, so. You've been inside, Puri? Yeah? Had any problem with the clubs?
Definitely.
Did you get whacked with one?
You cannot escape them.
Okay. You're definitely going to get whacked. But I heard that they're from the banana tree. They take it and you take it and you cut it on the two sides. Like kids do it, and then you go like this and it makes a do-do-do-do-do. So they have that, so when they whack you, it makes noise. And then they're giving you blessings.
People get scared, but it doesn't...
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're misbehaving, they can hit you to get you to stop, and this and that. So, multi-purpose. The orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must be carefully carried out. Although the Lord may not give direct orders, you are still to carry out His desires simply by understanding His indications. Like it said before, He gave the indication, the sign. And then they arrange the prasad. So he said like that. You know. Not that he has to, only what he tells you, he says you also figure out what he wants and get it arranged. Saying this, the king gave them permission to leave. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also went to see the assembly of all the Vaishnavas. From a distant place, Gopinathacharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya watched the meeting of all the Vaishnavas with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beginning from the right side of the lion gate, or the main gate of the temple, all the Vaishnavas began to proceed towards the house of Kashi Mishra. Okay, so the one that's in front on the road, so then they go there, that's where also Patita Pavana is, right?
Yeah.
And then that means you go down that way and then back, and that's... Okay, so it's just off of that road going right around the temple. Okay. Yeah. I have, because it's around the temple, I don't go, so I don't really know what's over there. You know, you go from, you know, Haridas Thakur and that, from that side to Kashi Mishra, so it looks like you're going through a lot. I don't know from the temple, because I can't go in the temple, so I don't know that's seen so much.
It's very close.
Oh, okay.
Just a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I didn't really, I only now when you mentioned, I understand, oh, okay, so it's like that. Because I only know it coming from you, coming from down here, coming to Haridasa's, and then coming over like this and that. Yeah, then it's all like that, and I think, wow, so complicated and all that. But the other way is that, because I was wondering, he says it's close by, but now I understand how it's close.
Yeah, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house is, yeah, just on the opposite side.
It's
of the same road.
Yeah, okay. That's the other gate, the one in the back. Because Lord Chaitanya, a lot of times, going through the back gate. So that must be right next to him. Because to come up forward, you got to go forward, but he can just comes around the back. And that. So the Simha is at that. And the back one, that's what, the horses? Or I don't even remember. That's where they also, they throw the old rice, prasadam and stuff.
That's where they come in with the big four pots.
Oh, okay.
The big four pots comes to the back.
Okay.
In the west.
In the west. Okay. Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by his personal associates, met all the Vaishnavas on the road with great jubilation. First, Advaitacharya offered prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord immediately embraced him in ecstatic love. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya displayed agitation due to ecstatic love. Seeing the time and circumstance, however, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained patient. After this, all the devotees, headed by Srivas Thakur, offered prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord embraced each and every one of them in great love and ecstasy. The Lord addressed all the devotees one after another and took all of them with him into the house. Since the residence of Kashi Mishra was insufficient, all the assembled devotees were very much overcrowded. They went in anyway. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit at his side, and with his own hand he offered them garlands and sandalwood pulp. After this, Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met all the Vaishnavas at the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a befitting manner. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu addressed Advaitacharya Prabhu, saying sweetly, "My dear sir, today I have become perfect because of your arrival." Advaitacharya Prabhu replied, "This is a natural characteristic of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is personally complete and full in all opulences, he takes transcendental pleasure in the association of his devotees, with whom he has a variety of eternal pastimes." As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Vasudev Dutta, the older brother of Mukunda Dutta, he immediately became very happy, and placed his hand on his body, and placing his hand on his body, began to speak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Although Mukunda is my friend from childhood, I nevertheless take great pleasure in seeing you than in seeing him." Srila Prabhupada, Vasudev Dutta was the older brother of Mukunda Dutta, who was the childhood friend of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is naturally a great pleasure to see a friend. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Vasudev Dutta that although it was his pleasure to see his friend, his pleasure was increased by seeing the older brother.
This is the same Vasudev Dutta Lord Chaitanya met after meeting the Koma
Brahmana?
That is Vasudeva Leper. That's Vasudeva Leper. Okay. This Vasudeva Dutta that I know of is the one that said, yeah, it's across the river. His house is—it's not there's some shards around, you know, of terracotta, you know, from the bricks. He's the one that said, "Let everybody else go back to Godhead. I'll take them." Yeah, so that's why he's so special, because him, Nityananda Prabhu, and Upari Charavasu, they're considered the most merciful in the universe. Vasudeva replied, "Mukunda got your association in the beginning. As such, he has taken shelter at your lotus feet. This is his transcendental rebirth." Thus, Vasudeva Dutta admitted his inferiority to Mukunda, his younger brother. So even though he says this, he says no, but he, since young, he's taken shelter of your lotus feet, so this is his transcendental position. "Although Mukunda is my junior," he said, he first received your favor. Consequently, he became transcendentally senior to me. Besides that, you very much favored Mukunda. Thus, he is superior in all good qualities." Right? Because good qualities come from Lord Chaitanya. Like that. The Lord said, "For your sake only, I have brought two books from South India. The books are being kept with Swoop Damodar, and you can get them copied. Hearing this, Vasudeva became very glad. But so the Brahma Samhita and the Krishna Karinam. Yes.
Recently we had this Brahma Samhita was told by Adi Keshava to Namaruda. He dictated.
Adi Keshava, the deity, told it to Namalwar, and he wrote it down. Okay.
So that is the place where all the Vedic scriptures, Yajna kept all the scriptures over there.
In Adi Keshava. Okay. Okay, and then from that Brahma Samhita, only that fifth chapter was left.
That fifth chapter was dictated to Adi Keshava, not dictated to.
So only the fifth chapter he dictated. He didn't dictate the other 99 chapters. Oh, okay. So that means he was saying that Adi Keshava, the deity there, he's considered, I think, the oldest deity. So he then, to Nam Alwar, he's one of the earlier Alwars, that he dictated to him the Brahma Samhita, and he wrote it down. And that copy that's there, that's the one that Lord Chaitanya then picked up. He, as far as he knows, he only dictated the fifth to him.
So it's like a library thing?
He said that Vyasadeva kept all of the scriptures there. You know, he had documented them all, and people copied them there, but he kept his ones, the original ones, there. So it's special in that way.
Now we have a reference.
Yeah. And also, they'll say that it's from there and all that, because otherwise then, you know, like we heard the other day, people say, oh, this Brahma Samhita, we made it out, it's not that. You get rid of that, then you can't prove anything. You know, so it's like, what do you mean? Even the Shris say it's there. You know. So, you know.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you can get it copied. Don't take my copy.
Yeah, don't take my copy. Get a copy. Yeah. Well, also, it's when before he came back to Puri, one of those last stops, then somebody copied it. Yeah.
I think Ramananda Rai and Vijayanagar, he also told him to make some copies.
Okay.
No, B2.
Sorry?
No, B2.
Yeah, both of them.
No. No, yeah, if you don't have the shlokas. It's big for us because of the commentaries and stuff. But otherwise, yeah, I think what he's saying, I think, what is it? The Harinamrita is only like, how many? 700 shlokas or something? Or was it that many or was it much smaller? 80? It's like
120 verses.
Yeah, something. It's quite small.
That was 62 verses.
Yeah. Okay. So it wouldn't take someone too long to copy. Indeed, each and every Vaishnav copied the two books. Everybody copied them. By and by, the two books, the Brahma Samhita and the Sri Krishna Karinamrita, were broadcast all over India. The Lord addressed Shivas and his brothers with great love and affection, saying, I am so obliged that I am purchased by you four brothers. Footnote 15. The four brothers are Shrivas, Sri Rama, Ramai, Shripati, and Sri Nidhi. Shrivas then replied to the Lord, why are you speaking in a contradictory way? Rather, we four brothers have been purchased by your mercy. After saying Shankara, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Damodar, my affection for you is on the platform of awe and reverence. Srila Prabhupada. Here the Lord is addressing Damodar Pandit, who is different from Swarup Damodar. Damodar Pandit is the elder brother of Shankara. Thus the Lord informed Damodar that his affection towards him was on the platform of awe and reverence. However, the Lord's affection towards his younger brother, Shankara, was on the platform of pure love. 211, 147, 151. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, therefore, keep your younger brother Shankara with you, because he is connected to me by pure unalloyed love. Damodar Pandit replied, Shankara is my younger brother, but from today he becomes my elder brother. because of your because of your special mercy upon him. Then, turning towards Shivananda Sen, right? So here you have, again, that second, the younger brother because of their association, and then the elder brother, then. Then, turning towards Shivananda Sen, the Lord said, I know that from the very beginning your affection for me has been very great. Immediately upon hearing this, Shivananda Sen became absorbed in ecstatic love and fell down on the ground, offering obeisances to the Lord. He then began to recite the following verse. Quote, O my Lord, O unlimited one, although I was merged in the ocean of nescience, I have now, after a long time, attained you, just as one may attain the seashore. My dear Lord, by getting me, you have attained the right person upon whom to bestow your causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada. This is verse 21 from the Stotra Ratna, composed by Alambandaru, Yamunacharya. Alambandaru. Okay, yeah, I was thinking, that didn't sound right. Alambandaru. Yeah. Oh, because his name is Yamunacharya, but he was given the title Alambandaru, because he was victorious. Yes. One's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be re-established even after one has fallen into the ocean of nescience, which is the ocean of material existence involving the repetition of birth and death, old age and disease, all arising out of the acceptance of the material body. There are 8,400,000 species of material life, but in the human body, one attains a chance to get released from the repetition of birth and death. When one becomes the Lord's devotee, he is rescued from this dangerous ocean of birth and death. The Lord is always prepared to shower his mercy upon fallen souls struggling against miserable material conditions. Right, so one can reestablish one's lost relationship. That's the whole point. That's why the material world's made, so that every living entity has the opportunity at some point to reestablish that relationship. Right? So that's the idea. We have our natural relationship, that's re-establishing. So he's saying here, he's quoting this verse from Yamunacharya, making that point. 211, 152, 165. Murari Gupta at first did not meet the Lord, but rather remained outside the door, falling down like a stick to offer obeisances. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not see Murari among the devotees, he inquired about him. Thereupon, many people immediately went to Murari, running to take him to the Lord. Thus, Murari Gupta, catching two bunches of straw in his teeth, went before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with humility and meekness. Upon seeing Murari come to meet him, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to him. But Murari began to run away and speak as follows. My Lord, please do not touch me. I am most abominable and not fit for you to touch because my body is sinful. The Lord said, My dear Murari, please restrain your unnecessary humility. My mind is disturbed to see your meekness. Saying this, the Lord embraced Murari and had him sit down by his side. The Lord then began to cleanse his body with his own hands. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then again and again embraced all the devotees, including Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Pandit Garadhara, Gangadas, Hari Bhatta, and Acharya Purandara. The Lord described their good qualities and glorified them again and again. After thus offering respect to each and every devotee, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very jubilant. However, not seeing Haridas Thakur, he inquired, Where is Haridas? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then saw in the distance that Haridas was lying down flat on the road, offering obeisances. Haridas Thakur did not come to the Lord's meeting place, but remained fallen flat on the common road at a distance. All the devotees then went to Haridas Thakur, saying, The Lord wants to meet you. Please come immediately. Haridas Thakur replied, I cannot go near the temple because I am a low caste, abominable person. I have no authority to go there. Srila Prabhupada, although Haridas Thakur was such a highly elevated Vaishnava that he was addressed as Haridas Goswami, he still did not like to disturb the common sense of the general populace. Right. So they would see him in that way. So he doesn't want to disturb the mind, because then they're, you know, they're doing their things, they're trying to do everything nicely for the Lord, be clean and all that, and then they see him and then they'll be worried and think. So he avoids all that. That's just his move. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.